Hallelujah. Glory to your name, Father. There is power in your name. There is power in your name, Father God. There is power in your name, over every title that can be conferred, not only in this age and in this world, but in the age and the world which has come. There's power in your name. Power. No matter where we are, his name rules. No matter where we are, his name is the top. We can be in Egypt, his name is the top. We can be in Mars, his name is the top. We could be a planet red 2Y, whatever they call it. His name is still above every other name. His name. His name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father God, we just thank you. We thank you that as we are here today, we are here today to hear your word. And we thank you that as we sit here, we're not just here just to hear someone talk, but we're here to receive. I speak to every heart in this room right now. Every heart. Let it be softened so you can receive the word of God. Receive the word of God as truth. I thank you that my mouth is connected to your spirit as the pen of a ready writer, just willing to say only what you want me to say, Father. And we just give you all the glory, honor, and praise in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, our pastors are still on vacation. They love y'all, but they're enjoying their time away. You know, but they'll be back. They'll be back. I think Pastor Peggy will be back in the office tomorrow. And, you know, they're enjoying their time away and being refreshed and being renewed. And the one thing I always look forward to Pastor Peggy's message the next time she speaks after a vacation, because it's ready. It's ready. It's ready to come, and it's a fresh anointing. And, you know, so I'm always ready to hear that. But you got me today. But we're continuing on our series called Believe. It's called Believe, and we've had a lot of great messages on it. Pastor Peggy is doing an awesome job with it. And the thing is, we have to remember, you know, I've learned over the years that we are not necessarily ruled by what's right and wrong. We're not ruled that way. We're ruled by what we believe is right and wrong. We're ruled by what we believe, by what we stand on. From any person that committed a murder to selling drugs on the corner to cheating on their taxes, they believe that they're right or wrong for whatever reason. So that's how we're wired. We're wired to act on what we believe. But this is why we need to connect our believer to the word of God. That's exactly why we need to do that. So our believer can be formed and transformed by the renewing of our mind, and we can be transformed to believe what the word of God says and therefore act on the word of God. Amen? And that's how our life will go. But that's another message altogether. Today, we're going to be talking about authority in the name of Jesus. Authority in the name of Jesus. You know, we need to believe that there's authority in the name of Jesus. We need to believe that, because there are some things on this earth and in our lives that will not change except by the power or the authority of Jesus. There are some things that won't change. It won't be budged. You can try all your own natural things. You can try all these natural things. But there are some things that won't change until you apply the word of God, the blood of Jesus, and the authority of the name of Jesus. And we're going to get into a couple things here today. And the first thing I want to show you, there's two things I want to show you. I want to show you that Jesus has all the authority. And I want you to see how Jesus used his authority. This is no deep message. This is just Bible truth. Let's go to Matthew 28:18. Matthew 28:18. If you wanna say this is the staple verse for this sermon, you can call it that. Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth." It says it plainly right there. All authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. There is nothing above the name of Jesus. I started preaching my message while I was exhorting there for a second. But there's nothing above the name of Jesus. Not one thing. Not one thing on this earth. There is nothing above the name of Jesus. What's left after all? Not a trick question. What's left after all? Nothing. There's nothing. So that means there is nothing that the name of Jesus is not above. Y'all with me on that? Do y'all believe that? Okay, let's go to another verse. Y'all, I don't believe y'all. Let's go. Let's go to Ephesians 1:19. Ephesians 1:19. And it says, what is the exceeding greatness of his power in and toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he was raised from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age and in this world, not in this age, but also in which is to come. And he has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Come on. If you don't believe it when Jesus said it in Matthew, Paul said it again right here. His name is above all principality and power and might and dominion. Above everything. Do y'all see that? Okay, let's go to one more. Colossians 2:10. Colossians 2:10, it says, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. Who's the him? Jesus. So right here, we can plainly say that Jesus is a name above all names, above everything that can be, above every title. You know what? I love it in the Amplified version in Ephesians because it says any title that can be conferred. Or any title that can be transferred. Above everything. Above everything. There's nothing that Jesus is not over. That the authority is not over. That his name is not over. But let's look at this. Jesus turned around and gave us the authority to use. Let's look in Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Say, Jesus, say after me, Jesus,
gave me
the authority. In Luke chapter 10, verse 19, Jesus is talking and he says, behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means hurt you. He gave us the authority. He gave us the authority. And then also, you don't have to turn here, in Mark 16, 14 through 18, that's what the Bible talks about, the Great Commission. And Jesus says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. When he tells you to go, he's giving you authority. He's giving you the permission to say, go. Go out into all the world. Preach the gospel. Lay hands on the sick and watch him recover. He gave you the authority and he gave us the authority. Once you've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in your life, you have the authority like that. Amen. There is no waiting period. There is no trial period. There is no 30, you can get a 30-day trial and you can return it. There's no probation period. There's none of that. You got it right there and then. Amen. Jesus is not saying, okay, I'm going to give you a month to make sure you act right. And then maybe I'll give you the authority. He doesn't do that. He gives it to you right there and then, right now. But you see, there are some things that we need to understand about authority. If we want to use it, and we want, because we can, let's go back a second. We have plainly seen that Jesus has all the authority, right? Yes. We saw that. Then we read in Luke chapter 10, verse 19, that he gave us the authority. He gave us the same authority that he had. And he didn't lose his authority when he gave it to us. He just gave us permission to use it. He gave us permission to use it. He said, you go do it now. You go do it. Because the thing is, Jesus knew when he was on this earth, he was only here for a limited time. So when he went up to heaven, he didn't want to say, okay, I'm going to do all these things and I'm going to tease you and show you all these things and then go back up to heaven and then all of it ends. He didn't want to do that. So that's when he said, I'm going to give you the authority to do these things. As Pastor Peggy says, you know, Jesus either did one of two things. He either did it for us or he did it to show us how to do it. He either did it for us, and what he did was he died on the cross for us. You don't have to, we don't have to go through to die on the cross, Praise God. You know, I remember there was a time where you saw people carrying the cross and going down. I remember there was one guy down Lantana, and he was carrying the cross, and, you know, in his own humble way, I guess, he was suffering for Jesus. And he made a cross and was carrying it. But Jesus is saying, I did that, so you don't have to do it. That's what he's saying. He said, I did that. In other words, I got you. I got you. You don't have to worry about it. I did that. So now just use the authority that I have given you to live life and to live life well. That's what he's saying. But there are some things that we have to understand about authority. Number one, authority is given. It's given. Unless you're at the very top, somebody has given you authority. Here at the church, Pastor Peggy and Pastor Scott, they're the authority. They gave me permission to speak here. I got permission. I got authority to do it. There's nothing, unless you're at the top, authority is always given. And Jesus said the same thing. In John chapter 12, verses 49 and 50, Jesus said, "For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command that what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak." And you know what? This is important to know. You want to know why? Because, let's put it like this. Have you ever met someone at work? And I'm going to be jumping back and forth through kind of like work illustrations. You ever met someone at work that they were your coworker? And, you know, you find they're good friends and stuff like that. And, you know, they got a promotion. And then all of a sudden, they started acting like they're the big dog. Like, it was because of, they are the top dog. Like, there's nobody that can stand me. There's nobody that's above me. I'm above all things, and I am the king. Anybody ever met one like that? Okay. How annoying is that? It's very annoying because you know why it's annoying? Because you say to yourself, somebody just gave you that. They gave it to you. It's nothing that you did. It's nothing that you did. You may have nailed an interview. You may have done some things. Yes, but still, the authority that that person had, it was given to them from someone else. And you know one thing to keep in mind, authority used properly will always lift people up and not knock them down. Always keep that in mind. Always keep that in mind. If you're over people at work, at your job, or whatever, always remember, your authority is not meant to just do what you want. It is not meant just to get my way. No. What did Jesus do when he came to this earth? He served the people. And he served his disciples. He served his disciples. If you study it out, he served his disciples more than anyone else. Why? Because he wanted his disciples to go out and do what he was doing. So he showed them how to do it. And so he served. So as authority used properly will always lift people up. It will never tear people down. So you always have to remember, first thing about authority, it's given. So when you're going out through this life, this is why, and we're going to get into this too, in Mark chapter 11, verses 22 or 23, Jesus said, have faith in God. Because you need faith. You have to remember, in the Bible, there are so many things that happened when Jesus was around, and there are things that's not necessarily recorded in the Bible. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they took some highlights, and they said, okay, the Holy Spirit guided them, and they said, they need to know this, they need to know this, and they need to know this. So when they recorded the part about Jesus saying, have faith in God, Jesus is essentially saying, you need faith in God. We need faith in God. And we need that faith, and we need the authority. Number two, we have another thing we have to remember. Authority must be established because it's always tested. It's always tested. From the time you were born, from the time you were a baby, you were testing authority. When that tantrum, you ask your parents for something, they said no, and you say yes, and they said no, you say yes, and they said boy, and I didn't get too much boys, I got a belt. Hey, that's how I grew up. I grew up in the Virgin Islands. My parents believed in the belt. I turned out all right. they were just like, it wasn't too much, but we grew up and we tested authority. It's almost like honestly, we're born into a sin nature. We're born into it. We're not born Christians, in case nobody knew that. We're not born Christians. We're born into a sin nature. So we're born testing authority. We were born doing that. But you see, and even up to today, some people still do that. I mean, some have a better grip on it than others. But, you know, with some people today, they're still, you're going to tell me to go left? I'm going to go right. Why? Because you ain't the boss of me. Yes, I am the boss of you. Well, I don't care. I'm still going to do it. And you see, if you have been in management at your job or anything, if you're in it for any amount of time, your authority has been tested. Your authority has been tested. I remember one time I was the manager of Lids in the Palm Beach Mall before it was the outlet. And I had this one guy working for me. And I hired him. Seemed great. It was cool. Everything was great. We have this thing. We do like inventory checks. And you had to count each hat to make sure that the amount of hats that you had in the store was what was in the system. So that was his job. I left, I came back the next morning, and his checklist was perfect. There wasn't a hat missing. If you work in retail anytime, you know that is never the case. You know that is never the case. So I'm like, dude, what's this? He's like, yeah, they're all right. It's like, you counted the hats. Yeah. So I'm gonna go to this hat right here. It's gonna be right. Yes. I know this hat is short too. I know it. And he's like, well, I counted them. I was like, no, you didn't. He didn't last long, to say the least. He didn't. And then the funny thing is, even when I fired him, he comes back to me and said, you don't have the authority to fire me. I hired you, didn't I? And then he's like, well, I knew my rights. I need to speak to your boss. And I'm like, you don't have to speak to my boss, but I'm going to let you speak to him anyway. And he called me and he told him the same thing. And then he left all mad talking about he's going to sue me and stuff like that. And anyways, I don't know. Jesus help him. But you know, but your authority is always tested every single time. But you have to know that your authority needs to be established. Let's look at Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Jesus. Praise the Lord, saints. power, yeah. This mic is saying you cannot touch me or else I will make noise. Anyways, this is Matthew chapter 4. We're going to go ahead, and this is where Satan tempts Jesus. And we're going to go in verse 1. It says, Jesus was laid up by the Spirit. Led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Now, just think about that for a second. You know, you need to just think about that. Because I remember I read this and it's like, he's led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And I'm kind of like, huh? Because, you know what? Jesus needed to establish his authority. Authority not established does nothing. Not one thing. You just have it and you look cute. Maybe. That's all it is. But it needs to be established. But let's go. And when he had fasted, talking about Jesus, he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Afterward, he was hungry. Somebody say, Jesus was hungry. Makes me feel better about when I'm hangry. But anyways, somebody said Jesus was hungry. Now, when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. And he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Now, look at the enemy here for a second. The enemy is strategic. He is strategic. You know, he saw that Jesus was hungry. He knew that he was fasting. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights. And actually, this is the thing you need to keep in mind about this passage too. Right before that, Jesus was baptized and received the Holy Spirit. Right before this. So as soon as he received the Holy Spirit, he was led into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil to establish his authority. He was, as soon as it happened. And this another thing about the devil. And I went to a movie with Chris one time, and you know, you saw some previews. And nowadays, you don't even have to wait for October to see some kind of, you know, supposedly scary nonsense. And Hollywood has made the enemy to be this scary person, like rawr, and you know, this ugly dude. We have to remember, Satan was an angel. He was an angel. He's not this guy that's going to come in terror and fright. Look what he did to Eve and Adam. He came as like a friend. And to Jesus, he didn't come roaring at him. He just planted suggestions. He just planted thought. Well, in Eve, he planted thoughts. In Jesus, he tried to plant thoughts. That's all he did. He's not no big, gruesome, gory person. No. Satan is an angel. He might look, for illustration purposes, maybe he's turned red. I don't know. But still, you know, and he has a tail or something. But he's still an angel. So he's not this gory person. He probably looks exactly like the other angels in heaven because that's how God made him. But the only thing is that he fell into pride and other things like that. So, you know, this whole thing with Hollywood making the devil to be this old gory person, don't fall for that. Don't fall for that. Because number one, as we're going to continue to know, to find out, we have authority over that. We have authority over that. So number one, it's fake. And then number two, even if it was real, we still have authority over it. Amen. Amen. All right, let's go back to verse 5. Then the devil took him up into the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their lands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. Look at that. The enemy is preaching. He's quoting a word. Look at that. Jesus said unto him, well, yeah, that's true, but it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Look what Jesus is doing. He's saying. He is speaking. Then again, the devil took him up to exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and all their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give to you if you fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, or Vamoose, or whatever. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to Jesus. This is the thing you need to know. Authority is established by knowing who you are and standing on it by speaking. Authority is established by knowing who you are and it's also established by standing by speaking. Again, if you go into your job, let's just say you transfer to another department and they just said, yeah, go to the other building down in the southwest corner and just go in there. Somebody will tell you and talk to you. Now, suppose you go in there and nobody says anything. Everybody just ignores you, walks around, and stuff like that. How would you know who's in charge? You won't know unless somebody says something. Unless somebody says something. You know, you can go to pretty much any job, and if you wait for a second, you can see who's in charge by somebody saying, okay, you need to go handle this, you need to go handle this, and you can see who the person is who's delegating it. See, we have to speak so the enemy is reminded. He already knows. He already knows. But every once in a while, you need to remind him who's the final authority. Because this is the thing. The enemy will always come to tempt you. Because, back up a little bit, he wants to know if you know your authority. He wants to know if you know. He already knows he's defeated. He already remembers when Jesus went down to hell and kicked his tail for 3 days. And Jesus wrote on the wall, "I was here," signed Jesus. He was there. It's there on the wall. He remembers it. But sometimes we forget. And the enemy knows that. He knows that. So he's going to come back to you and see, do you remember the authority that you have? And if you don't speak, the enemy will stay right there. And he won't do anything. He will do a lot if you don't do anything. See, speaking the word of God and it working in your life isn't some deity trick that Jesus did. That's not what it is. Let's go to Mark 11, verse 20. This, you know, sometimes we have this misconception of that. Or some people, maybe not us here. We're really taught. We're taught very well here at BBC. But sometimes we may have one or two people that say, you know, these things that happened in the Bible was just for that time. Or the things that you're talking about, oh, you're a pastor. That works for you, but it doesn't work for me. Or it doesn't work for me because I've not been good enough. That's not the case. That's not the case. Look at Mark 11:20. Now, before this, Jesus was walking by, they were on their way somewhere, and Jesus saw a fig tree, and he cursed the fig tree. And all the disciples, they heard him, and, you know, they kind of was like, okay. They were kind of like shocked. It was like, he just did it. Because Jesus just did it and continued walking. And that's all he did. So they went and did what they needed to do. And now they're coming back in the morning, starting in verse 20. Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away." So Jesus answered and said to him, "Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe and receive them, and you shall have them." See, Jesus did this to show us that we can do it. Because they said, "Look, it's withered away." And Jesus said, "Have faith in God." And he told them how to do it. Guys, Jesus could have said, "Well, you know, this is a trick that I can do. And if you don't, you better not try it or else you'll blow up the whole earth." He could have said, "You know, that's just for me. I'm just messing with you. You know, I'm just showing you what I can do and you can't do it, so whatever." But he didn't do that. He did it and he showed him. He said that you can do the same exact thing. He showed us how to do it and he showed us so you can see that we can get results in our lives. We can get results in our lives. We don't have to put up with what the enemy throws at us. We don't have to stand for it. We don't have to do it. We can change things because God gave Jesus the authority, and in return, Jesus gave us the authority to use to change things. That's what he did it. Number three, and it goes right into number three, the purpose of authority. The purpose of authority. The purpose of authority is giving. Authority is given to change things. It's given to change things. You know, at your job, going back to this again, at your job, if you've been put over a department, whether even if someone was fired or they moved somewhere or whatever, even if it's, well, if it's running horribly, they're giving you the authority because they want you to put, they're putting you over it to fix it. But even if it's working great, they put you over it, they expect you to take it to another level. They expect you to take it to another level. So authority is always given to change things. They always want you to say, they always want you to say, "Go, take the keys. This is you. This is your authority. Take this department and run with it." And then you can look at all those people and say, "Hey, look, me. I'm the captain now." Captain Phillips? Anybody ever saw that movie? No? Okay, sorry. And look at the he's giving you the authority. They're giving you the authority to change things. Let's look at Mark chapter 16, excuse me. Verses 17 and 18. These signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they shall cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. You see, guys, he's giving you the authority to use. Yeah, he's not giving you the authority just to say, I got the power. I got the power. Sorry. He's not giving you the authority to say, I got the power, and just have it and just be cute with it. No, he's giving you the authority to use it. He's giving you the authority to use it. Look, let's look again at Mark 11, chapter, Mark 11, 23 to 24. I like to use the same verses again and again, because you know what? I want you to get it. I don't want to list 20 verses and you remember nothing. But if I use the same verse over and over again, some part of it is going to stick with you. And that part is going to change. And that part is going to change you, excuse me. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things he says will be done, for he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. You have the authority to change the circumstances in your life. In other words, that scripture says, whosoever shall have whatsoever. Whosoever shall have whatsoever. Jesus started out with a fig tree. And then he said, yeah, you don't have to, this is not stuck to a fig tree. You can move a mountain. And then he went on to say, not only you can move a mountain, you can move whatsoever. And then he goes on to say, it says, whosoever shall have whatsoever. Whosoever shall have whatsoever. See, there is no such thing as a powerless Christian. There's no such thing as a powerless Christian. There's only those that use the power that they have and those that don't. There is no such thing as a powerless Christian. And you have to believe it. Because from the time that you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you have received the authority. You just have to use it. Which leads into number 4. Authority is given for the purpose of using it. That's the whole reason it's given. You know, going back to the illustration of your job. Now you're over the department. And now the department is running amok. It is just going everywhere. People are clocking in late, leaving early. They're not cleaning up the refrigerator. They're cooking bacon in the microwave. Sorry, that's my job. I don't work here. I don't work here full time, so it's okay. It's nobody here, so don't worry about that. But yeah, this one guy cooks bacon in the microwave, and it stinks up the whole half of the. Anyways. You know, so your department is going crazy and it's just going left and right. And then what's going to happen? Your boss is going to come to you and say, dude, what are you doing? And you say nothing. He's going to say, dude, or whatever. I gave you the authority to change things. I gave you the authority to change things and to make it better. Why are you not using it? And honestly, I think God will say to us today, there are things in your life that you've put up with for too long. There are things in your life that you've put up with for far too long. I gave you the authority. Why are you not using it? And I'm preaching to myself too, y'all. I'm preaching to myself. There are things in my life that needs to change. And I gotta speak to that thing. I gotta speak to these things more. There's some things that have changed, and there's some things that haven't. But honestly, all of us are in this boat at some point in our lives. We're not all perfect. Jesus was the only one, and he's up seated next to God in the right hand, at the right hand of God. So he gave us the authority so that we could use it. God will never give you power or give you something and then tell you not to use it. He'll never do that. He'll never do that. I mean, really, I will never give Derek, my 7-year-old son, I will never give him a toy and say, here, but you can't use it. That's just torture. That ain't right. So why do we feel that that God is this way sometimes? He gave us the authority. He gave us the power. He gave us the rights to use his name above every name and above every title. He gave it to us to use it. Let's start changing some things. As Uncle Ben told Spider-Man, with great power comes great responsibility. Hey. Those Marvel comics, wait, is he Marvel? Okay, those Marvel comics, you know, it gets deep sometimes. Woo! You got some good one-liners in there sometimes. It's like, yeah, that would preach. Anyways, you know, with great power comes great responsibility. We have a responsibility to use the power that Jesus gave to us. We have a responsibility. Let's start changing things. Let's start speaking to sickness. Let's start speaking to a poverty mentality. Let's start speaking to things. Let's start putting the devil on the run. As this one guy said, as this one guy told Brother Hagin one time, he said, hey, Brother Hagin, how you going? Brother Hagin asked him how he was doing. He's like, man, I got the devil on the run. He's like, whoo, glory. He said, the problem is that he's chasing right after me. Let's turn that around. Let's turn that around. There are things in our lives that needs to change. And there are things that we need to apply the word on. And God has given us the power to do it. Brother Hagin always said, the person that knows their authority can face the enemy without fear and without hesitancy. We need to know our authority. And guys, we have to remember, sometimes you have to establish authority more than once. Well, look at Jesus. He tempted him 4 times. 4 times. Do you think he's going to tempt us less or test us less? Do you think you're going to be tested less? You have to say and continue saying. That's what it says in Mark 11, whosoever say it. It says says and continually says. You see, and sometimes when you're in this, well, sometimes when you're in that, some things are just gonna, it's gonna get messy at times. In the Old Testament, there was Naaman. Naaman went to Elisha to get healed of leprosy. And Elisha, and there's so many other messages in that story, but Elisha sent his servant to go out and say, you need to go dip in a river 7 times. In the muddy river. In the nastiest river ever. And Naaman got all mad and edgy and was like, who is this guy? Think who he is? Because Naaman wanted Elisha to just wave his hand over him. Just said, whoop. Just someone said, whoop. And sometimes there are things in our life that we wish Jesus would just be like, whoop. But he's going to tell you to do some things that you may get a little muddy. You may get a little muddy. And he told Naaman to dip in the river 7 times. So the first time he went down, dip. He got all muddy. Second time, dip. Third time. It wasn't until the 7th time that he came up and he was totally clean. Guys, there are times where God is going to tell you some stuff to do some things. And the first couple of times, it may be a little muddy. It may get a little messy. But don't stop. Don't let the mud stop you. You continue going, and you continue speaking, and you continue establishing your authority in your life. We have to keep that in mind. We always have to remember that. Look, the enemy is very strategic. But we have to remember that God gave us the authority over everything. You know what? When Jesus, when there was a centurion servant, and you know, in the scripture, it says, Jesus marveled at his faith. You know, if Jesus is going to marvel at something, you know, that's something. For Jesus to be like, hold up, bro. It means something. It means something. And I'm just like, what made Jesus marvel? You know what the centurion servant says? Because Jesus said, let's go to the house and I'll pray for his son. Was it his son or his servant? Son, it was son. And then he said, the centurion said, no, you don't have to come to my house. Just speak the word only. And then when he said that, Jesus said, wait, hold up. He was marveled at it. Why? Because that took him back to Genesis chapter 1, where he spoke and then he saw, and he spoke and then he saw, and he spoke and then he saw. When you speak, it lays the foundation for God to get things to you. In Mark 11:23, the Greek word for saith, if you break it down, it's Lego. Lego, like the little toys. Lego, it's building blocks. Because when you say and you speak the authority of God, you are on your way. It may not happen right away. You may get a little muddy sometimes, but you stick with it and you will continue and you will see the effect of the authority that you have spoken. Every time. Every time. We need to make Jesus say, whoa. We need to make Jesus say, whoa. And we need to do that. So we need to establish our authority. And the way we establish our authority is you speak to every mountain in your life. You speak to that mountain of debt and see be removed and cast into the sea. You speak to the mountain of sickness. You speak to the mountain of poverty. You speak to the mountain of bad, of stinking thinking. You can speak to any mountain in your life and watch it move, because Jesus gave you the authority to do it. Hallelujah. So this is what we believe, and we have to believe it, because if we don't believe it, we will never act on it, and if we don't act on it, our life will remain the same time and time again. We need to change some things. I'm talking to myself. I've got some victory. I've received some victory in some things, hallelujah, but there's some things that I'm just like, you know what? It's time to fight. Time to fight that good fight of faith. It's time to just get in the ring and just go at it. You can't, you know, Mark Henkin said this. He said, you know, if you don't like the fight, you're not going to be good at faith. Because faith is a fight. Faith is a fight. So you need to get the stamina up. You need to get your stamina up. And you just say, okay, let's go. And you continue speaking. You know, all those, when you speak the word of God, that's a jab. When you speak the word of God, that's a jab. God has supplied all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Jab. Jab. Righteous shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That's a jab. By his stripes, we are healed. That's a jab. God, Jesus has given me all authority. That's a hook, maybe. Come on, let's go. Let's continue going. Just like a prize, just like a fight. I mean, unless it's like the UFC people, you know. I think Ronda Rousey beat this girl in like 30 seconds. I read it on ESPN, you know. But some, if you go in like a boxing ring, need a jab. Need a jab. And you need those jabs so you can deliver an uppercut for the knockout. And he's going to get back up. But the thing is, he gave you authority to knock him back down. Amen. Hallelujah. You guys got something today? Woo, hallelujah. He's given us the authority. He's given us the authority. It is time for us to use it. It is time for us to speak the truth. It is time for us to lay hold on the promises of God and just speak it out. Playtime is over. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's go ahead and receive the offering.